Good morning, everyone. Talk Radio 930 WTAD. A triple header today on the Mary Griffith Show. We're going to get right to it. Brought to you each and every weekday morning by Harvest Ridge Coffee from Refreshment Services Pepsi. Across this studio from me is Dr. Brandon Breening. He is in practice at Breening Holistic Wellness Clinic on North 24th Street in Quincy. Dr. Breening, are you taking new patients or are you full?
I'm always taking new patients. Okay. You just have to wait a while. We're scheduling into February right now.
Wow. So if you want to be a patient, be patient.
Yeah.
So not as much time for you today, sir. I'm sorry,
but
my triangle instructor is out there, and he takes precedence.
Well, you know.
I'm sure he was
still trying to get you to come out of retirement after... After that world-class triangle performance.
Listen, I never retired. I just went on hiatus. I mean, as long as Taylor Swift was on tour, I didn't want to compete with her. But now that she's off tour, I think I'm going to start my triangle tour.
Wow.
We'll talk about that later on. What have you brought for us today in the way of health, Dr. Breening?
Well, do you want the good news or the bad news? Let's start with the bad news.
Okay.
Because the good news...
Will it trump the bad news?
I don't know if it trumps the bad news, but it... Give some little bit of hope about the bad news. So the bad news is that almost half of Americans over 55 will get dementia of some type or another. So 42%, according to the study. I don't remember which group did it.
But somebody notable in a journal that you read.
Yes.
You didn't just bring, make
yes,
this
it
up.
Was in the journal Nature Medicine.
Okay, so half of people over the age of 55 will get some form of dementia before they pass.
Almost. It's 42%.
42%.
Unless you're a woman, in which case it's 48% and 35% of men. But the main reason for that is because men die sooner. So they don't live long enough to develop dementia as often. So,
well, and this is the bad, you know, dementia, just because you're starting to develop it, you may pass before it even becomes apparent.
A major problem.
I guess what they're saying is, and what we're now beginning to understand is, dementia happens. It doesn't just happen to a few people.
No.
They're thinking 42% of the population over 55. So if you're 55 right now, you have a 42% chance that you're going to get dementia. Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying that in your lifetime, you have a 42% chance.
Well,
so once
I don't care about what my chances
are
after death, doctor.
Once you hit 55, your chances of developing dementia before you die jump to, I don't know what they are before because the study doesn't say, but jump to 42%.
Wow.
So,
I mean, does that shock you?
Seeing the population, not particularly. There are a lot of things we do that's not neuroprotective. So we need to do more neuroprotective things. Get your fruits and vegetables, for one. Get your antioxidants. What is an antioxidant? What does it do? It's science-y and all that. And who wants to hear that at this time in the morning?
But you don't have to tell us what it is. Just tell us some things that have it.
Well, fruits and vegetables are full of antioxidants, right? I read another article this morning, which I didn't bring with me, about how processed red meat increases brain damage and chances of dementia.
We are what we eat. I mean, you're the third
yes.
generation in your family to practice chiropractic medicine, and you've always been a big nutrition advocate, and we see obesity rising, diabetes rising, dementia rising. We see these things happening. Part of it is because we're diagnosing it better, but part of it is because you would probably agree that our diet is the thing we can control. You can't control a hereditary factor,
right.
But you can control your diet.
Yeah, and if you have a hereditary factor, it becomes more important to control your diet. One of the things that they mention in here, people at higher risk are people with the APOE4 gene, which messes with where cholesterol is in your body. It doesn't necessarily put it in the right places. So if you know you have that, then you have to be more aware of what's going on. You know, if mom and dad had heart problems, that's a much better indicator of whether or not you're going to have a heart problem than any blood test I can do.
Right.
So.
And so our diet is critically important. And this statistic that you gave today, that if you've reached the age of 55, you have
42%
chance. You'll be one of the 42 out of 100 Americans,
yes,
or people are going to get dementia. Now, does that mean it's completely the dementia where you don't know where you are or what you're doing? No. It could be a kind of dementia that you pass away from other causes before it really becomes bad. But any form of dementia is bad, and our diet is directly responsible for a lot of what is happening to us.
Exactly.
Okay.
Speaking of diets, let's jump into this next subject.
Okay, thank you.
GLP-1 drugs.
The famous Ozempic,
yes,
and Januvia, and some of these
and
other things.
And Wegovy.
Jardiance. The little pill with the big story to tell. However, speaking from experience, that life-threatening complication you can get, I got it.
Yeah.
And it was very bad.
Yeah.
My doctor was really concerned because it took 3 rounds of treatment for me to recover from that.
Yeah.
So the little pill with the big story to tell, the story they don't tell you in the fine print is it could kill you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, okay. Absolutely. So
everybody wants to take these drugs. They think it's a miracle. They think I'll just never have to diet. I'll just lose weight. I'll just take this shot and life's going to be great.
Yes.
And,
but that's not true. But this actually, the article talks about some of, because we know some of the negatives. We don't know all the negatives because these things are new, right? So much in our world is new. We don't know what it's going to do to us as humans. With these, you know, the risk of pancreatitis, kidney conditions, that's there. And you absolutely have to be monitored for those sort of things so that you don't want to lose 40 pounds and then die because your kidneys failed, right?
Right.
So you absolutely need to be monitored. But one of the things that they're noticing with these is they provide significant, according to the article, neurological and behavioral health benefits. So because of what they're doing, because they are helping with satiety, right, helping with that feeling of fullness.
Right. You don't have the appetite that you normally have. It's a very modern appetite suppressant would be a good way to put it. But
yeah,
it's not like speed or something like that.
Yeah.
It's much more safe as an appetite suppressant.
Yes.
However, I know a lot about this because I'm on this drug. I've been on 3 different drugs, as a matter of fact. That's the other thing. If you just took this drug and you lost weight, well, then eventually after you took this drug for 3 years, you'd weigh 7 pounds. You know, I mean,
right.
No, that's not how it works.
No.
People that don't understand what this drug is think that, you know, you take this drug and you lose weight. The minute you stop taking this drug, you stop losing weight.
Because you're not having that GLP-1 sitting there, right?
Yeah.
So you can't just take the drug and expect to be well all the time after you get off of it. You have
right.
to make all these changes. One of the things that it does, and the reason I think that it does this, they did it, I've talked about this before at some point, but I don't remember where they did this study at, but it was a study with cookies. And it was a willpower study. And what they did was they split these college kids into 3 groups. One group got to sit in a room and eat cookies whenever they wanted. And then they had to go take this impossible math test. The second group got to sit in the room with the cookies, but were told you cannot eat them. The fresh baked cookies too, Mary. They're coming in, they're wafting. Mm-hmm. It's not just like these cookies are just sitting there, you know, it's not like the sugar cookies that were baked 7 days ago.
Yeah, this is not super value grocery store crap. Yeah,
these are grandma's cookies right out of the oven, right? And you're sitting there and you're smelling them the whole time while you're waiting. And then you go take this test. And the third group didn't get any cookies, so they were very sad. But what they found is the group that didn't have the cookie temptation and the group that could have cookies whenever they wanted, it was an impossible math question, so there was absolutely no answer. they were more reasonable. Their willpower was higher. They could deal with that test better than the group who didn't. The group who didn't had no willpower left because they had used all their willpower fighting the cookie temptation.
Mm-hmm.
So if this is here, taking up that satiety and not making you use your own willpower to stop from eating, then you're going to have that willpower from other things to,
or maybe
I won't smoke that cigarette today because I don't need it. Right.
So these drugs are in many ways a miracle cure. Once your blood sugar is under control, it's just amazing how your whole life will change. However, just like everything else, you have to be monitored
Absolutely.
By a doctor, and you should not think of anything as a miracle cure to make you lose weight or anything like that, because there's a whole bunch of factors that come into it. Dr. Brandon Breening, even though you're only booking into February, if somebody wanted to make an appointment to have blood work done with you or to have a consultation about weight loss or just for a chiropractic manipulation because they shoveled snow a week ago and their back is still messed up, how can they get in touch with you?
Call the office, 217-223-6170, and leave a message. Usually it's
okay.
best way to get a hold of us.
The lovely Rochelle will ask what you need, and
Absolutely.
You can say, Pinky told me to call.
You'll
get really good service that way. Thank you very much.
Or don't, and you'll just have to see.
So. Okay. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Bill Mackold is in the green room, and we'll talk to Bill in just a moment. But first, this note, it is 928 at WTAD. We are back. Talk Radio 930 WTAD. It is 930. Bill Mackold, who has gained fame really throughout the tri-states as my personal triangle instructor, is here. And we're going to talk today about an instrument that he probably plays. I do not, and that's the steel drum. Have you played the steel drum? I'm sure you have.
Yes, not in recent years, but when I was in graduate school, the school that I went to is one of the flagship steel drum programs in the country. So I had a couple of years there where I was playing in the steel drum band and also in charge of the steel drum band.
Wow! Things we learn about Bill Mackold all the time. Well, January 25th, this Saturday night, Candace Hill is coming, and she is a professional steel pan or steel drum performer, and she's an instructor. And so she's going to be bringing her talents here for the Quincy Civic Music Association to the State Street Theater.
Yes. So this concert will be Saturday night at 7:30, State Street Theater. I think right now with the weather and the cold that we have, we could all use a taste of the Caribbean. So we are going to have a lot of Caribbean and Latin music. Candace on steel pan, and she has a four-piece band behind her, bass, drums, keyboard, guitar, etc. So it should be a really exciting, really fun concert. Steel pan music is infectious. It's fun. It's got a great groove, a great feel, and it's just fun music. So it's going to be a great show and a great environment at the State Street Theater.
We have a professional percussionist here, Mr. Mackold, and so Professor Mackold. And so I want to talk, you know, when I think of a drum, I think about an animal skin stretched over something that is beaten with a stick. Steel drum is completely different. No animal skin.
Right. So steel drums are built out of oil barrels. They originated in Trinidad, and the natives there basically fashioned these out of oil barrels that were left on the shore by the British, who were had established that territory, I guess. And so it's just a process of heating and making the top of it concave, and then you create pitch areas in the front. And so the drum that Candace will be playing on is called a lead tenor. And it has basically a 2.5-octave range. There are other sets of drums that come in combinations, like double seconds, which is a pair of drums where the chromatic pitches are spread between two drums. A set of bass pans, for example, if you have a full steel pan ensemble, is 6 or 8 drums that a person could be playing at one time. So there's different combinations. But a lead tenor or a lead pan has about a 2-octave range all on one drum.
This is going to be amazing. And like you said, it will bring us to warmer climates.
Or at least
make us pine for it. Is it more difficult to play a steel drum than it is to play a animal skin drum?
Well, I mean, I guess you can compare it more to like a mallet instrument, like a marimba or a xylophone.
Or like a xylophone. Because
they're
got
pitched
to hit,
instruments.
You've
right.
got to hit at a certain place
yes.
to get that tone.
Right. And the chromatic pitches are not next to each other on a steel drum. That's what takes getting used to. So you'll have the pitch C, and next to that would be the pitch G. Not a D or the mm-hmm. next pitch up in a scale. So the scale is actually spread throughout
the drum. So you don't go
drum,
around,
so.
Go left to right or something?
No,
nope,
you don't go in
fossil.
Order. Nope.
Okay.
So you have to, it takes a little while just to get the layout of where the pitches are and where the notes are to be able to get around the drum.
So is it like piano fluid. Where your instructor puts, you know, every good boy does fine and puts E, to, you know, puts it on
well,
the
yeah, the notes
the
could
key.
Be on there. I mean,
so the beginner instrument has the notes written there. So that
I'm sure Candace does not have the notes written on her drum, but yes, I have seen steel pans that do have the notes written on them.
So. Wow, fantastic. So this is the Quincy Civic Music Association. And one of the things that you do is you bring a wide variety. You opened up in September with the Turtle Island Quartet, just a foursome.
String quartet, right.
String quartet. Mm-hmm. Then you had the Iowa Brass, the big, full Iowa Brass there at the Kroc Center. And now Candace Hill, another smaller type performance mm-hmm. on January 25th. And then Sage will be performing on March 1st. And then, of course, the Chicago Festival Ballet in June. So you bring the whole gamut with the Quincy mm-hmm. Civic Music Association, and that's what you're trying to do. I always say it's the best season ticket you can buy because you're going to get the most widely diverse type of entertainment.
Right.
You're going to be entertained in very many ways. If you're intellectually curious, this group is for you.
And to be able to do this for $25 a show is remarkable. You know, if you were in Chicago and wanted to go to the Chicago Festival Ballet, it's going to cost you a lot more than $25.
So, and so you do that because of generous donors.
Yes, and
okay.
sponsors and things like that, grants, any number of things that help fund us so that we can bring this mission to Quincy.
But yet tickets are very inexpensive here, $25 for adults. Mm-hmm. Children are always admitted free, right?
Yes. So any kind of students, in fact, including QU, John Wood, Culver Stockton, they all get into this concert for free, faculty and staff of those institutions as well, high school students, junior high students, et cetera. We even have a deal now for public school teachers can get in half off.
Wow, are you going to have room at the State Theater?
I hope so. I
okay.
hope we pack the place, though.
Let's
so.
Pack the
and
place.
They will have the bar open, so.
I was going to say, that is the one thing about this. This is a concert, but it's not one where you have to sit sedately in your seat.
Right. You can get up and dance, you can groove, you can move, you can have a drink. Just really enjoy yourself. So it's like I said, like you said, we like to bring a wide variety of acts. And so this will be a little bit of a different format, a little bit of a different feel, but super enjoyable.
And if you've got a kid at home that loved to bang on the pots and pans when they were little, this will be a step up from that. Because, again, most children are exposed to percussion mm-hmm. in the beating of a drum. This is a much more nuanced.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this is a pitched instrument.
Yeah, this is a pitched
right,
instrument.
You have
so
melody.
Just to have them watch how this is done.
Right. And the sound of a steel pan is just so unique. It's really an amazing sound.
So it truly was invented in Trinidad?
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
yes.
It didn't exist somewhere else, and they just used these oil barrels
to make one?
No.
Yeah, they invented it out of what they had available to them at the time. And Candace has been to Trinidad and performed with some of the large steel bands there. So she has a degree in steel pan performance. It's the only, she got it from Northern Illinois University, which is the only place in the country that you can get a degree in steel pan performance.
We learned something new mm-hmm. every time
exactly.
you're on, Bill. Northern
I hope so.
Illinois University, home
yes.
of the Huskies.
So there are
who
three.
Who beat Notre Dame.
They did this
they
year.
They beat Notre Dame.
You're
I
right.
take it you are a proud graduate.
No, I'm not,
no,
actually.
No, you're not.
So,
okay.
So there are three flagship universities in the country that started the steel band revolution at the college level. One of them is University of Illinois. One is Northern Illinois. And the third one is University of Akron in Akron, Ohio, which is where I got my master's
okay.
degree. So they are the three.
Couldn't get into Illinois or Illinois State, so we had to go to Akron.
Well, I'm not from this area, so I didn't try.
What is the name of the Akron mascot?
The Zips.
That's right. They're mm-hmm. Zippers.
It's a kangaroo.
It's a kangaroo. Okay. Bill, come back every day because you're just a font of knowledge. Candace Hill, percussionist and steel drum performer and instructor, will be performing at the Quincy State Street Theater there at 8th and State. And the tickets are $25. And it is Saturday night. And what time is the concert?
7:30. Doors will open at 7. You can get tickets there. You can get tickets at Sturhan Jewelers, Neiman's, Hy-Vee, Square Music, or you can get them on the website and order them online, okay. qcma.org.
Do not miss it, folks. Absolutely fantastic. Bill, always a pleasure.
Well, thank you very much.
Did you have to work today? Is QU in session?
We are not until Monday. We have been off for 6 weeks.
Yeah.
I am ready to go back.
You're ready to go back?
Ready to go
back. Well, you heard it from the professor. Okay, thank you very much.
We'll thank you.
We'll take a trip up to the Ursa Farmers Cooperative. Rex Battery brings you this report, and then our chief of police will be here to tell us what's happening in Quincy. We're back, Talk Radio 930 WTAD. Chief Adam Yates is here, and he is the chief of police of Quincy. And, you know, so many things are going on, but I want to ask you a question about the recent snow emergency. The mayor declares a snow emergency. People are supposed to have their cars off the street or they could be subject to towing. Yet we had a big semi-truck parked on a very major route, 3rd Street, Gardner Expressway, whatever you want to call it. It's also a official highway for the state of Illinois. And that truck was parked there with snow all around it for weeks. Still is parked there, if you want to know the truth. Why wasn't that ticketed?
Well, good morning. It's good to be here with you. It's always good to rehash the past when we come walking in, because especially when you hit me with something that I have no idea about.
I mean, you know, I love being critical of things that Adam may or may not, like he's on, not on patrol. He doesn't know. You know.
No, the general rule, I guess, or policy that we go by, you know, obviously with a snow emergency, we try to do as much education and put out as much information beforehand.
The idea is not to punish people.
And we don't. We have no intent on punishing anyone. Our philosophy is if there's a specific hazard that a car that is parked on a snow emergency route is creating, then we will ticket and we will tow the car. But if it's just a random car in the middle of a block and it's not really hurting anything, then generally there's not going to be any enforcement action. Now, we might send an officer to try to figure out who owns the car, see if we can get a hold of them, if we can get it off the street. But, you know, in general sense, we don't usually ticket or tow many cars at all. And I don't know that we ticketed or towed any this go-round.
Okay. Well, I guess I bring that up because, again, we have a new towing ordinance in mm-hmm. Quincy. And, you know, a lot of people think, well, why are they being so mean or why are they charging so much? You're not really looking to tow any more cars than you're already towing. You just have increased some of the offenses that are eligible for mm-hmm. this tow fee. And the reason it's important is because my tax dollars pay for the Quincy Police Department.
Right.
And so if somebody does something that's illegal and they use their car in the commission of a felony or they're running drugs in their car and the Quincy Police Department tows that car, you take two officers off the street for about 2 hours just to do the paperwork and make sure it gets hooked up right. Not that you tow it yourself, but, you know, you've got to be there.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And that's all taking money away from me and my police protection. So if that scofflaw has to pay $200 to get their car back, I say good.
Yeah, that was the general or the initial reason we came up with this was, you know, the two reasons that we tow cars for DUI and for no insurance, no driver's license, you know, we were just seeing an increase in the amount of time we were spending dealing with those and getting nothing in return. And like you said, you know, I've had people tell me, well, that's the part of doing business. You know, you get taxpayer money, and that's what your officers are supposed to do. And my response is, well, tell that to the person that had to wait 3 hours to have an officer come by to take their theft report or had to wait an hour and a half at a traffic crash scene because it took the police so long because they were too busy dealing with this other stuff that people shouldn't be doing. So it started off as, well, maybe if we deter people by charging an administrative fee, which we are in the very outlier of police departments that don't charge a similar fee, that ultimately maybe people will do less driving without a driver's license or committing crimes in their vehicles. So ultimately, yeah, we wanted to get some money back for the work that we were doing, but we also thought it was a good time to put some other offenses out there that are really, you know, we're seeing people getting in traffic crashes who don't have a driver's license. Well, you know, that person probably isn't going to be covered by insurance either, because most insurance companies, if you don't have a valid license, aren't going to cover you. So we're just trying to and if you look at our logs, we arrest at minimum 3 or 4 people a week for driving without a driver's license. So it's an issue.
It is a very big issue. And again, you know, why aren't you looking for the murderers and rapists? Well, I tell you what, getting hit by somebody that's uninsured, and I have to pay extra because I have to carry uninsured motorists. Most people do. Mm-hmm. It's ridiculous. I have to pay money under the assumption that some of the people that are out there driving aren't legally mm-hmm. driving. So I have to pay to protect myself against those scofflaws.
Right.
So this is just one more way. A lot of people think, well, that, you know, these crackdowns on seatbelts and stuff like that when you do. But you find an awful lot of people that are driving without a license, that are mm-hmm. driving without insurance. These are truly detriments to our society. Can you just explain to somebody, not that you're not chasing the bank robber, not that you're not trying to solve the murder, mm-hmm. you're doing all of that,
right.
but why is it so important as a police officer to get people off of the streets that don't have driver's license and don't have car insurance?
Well, thankfully, we don't have a ton of murders in the city of Quincy. And thankfully, we don't have people getting kidnapped all the time. Because honestly, if that was happening, we probably wouldn't be worried about a towing ordinance like this, okay? But what point I guess I would make is that if you are killing people or kidnapping people and you use your car, we're going to tow your car now, right? So, which we wouldn't have maybe before. But that being said is, you know, when you look at resources and you look at what we deal with on a regular basis and what is truly causing the issues for the citizens of the city of Quincy, it's traffic crashes, that, you know, property damage, injuries from traffic crashes, you know, folks that are driving when they shouldn't be, or they're speeding, or they're driving drunk. You know, those are probably the things are going to impact a citizen in the city of Quincy more than any type of violent crime. So those are just as important to us as investigating and holding folks responsible for committing major crimes. So this is why we think this is going to hopefully help us move towards, you know, keeping folks off the streets that shouldn't be out there.
Yeah, I don't know if I agree with the deterrent aspect of it, because I think when you get to that level, you're not deterred by much of anything. But there'll be people who that $200 to get that car out. Now, here's the question. They're the owner of the car, and they don't pony up the $200. Do you get to keep the car and auction it off, or what happens to the car?
We don't keep the car. The tow company would keep the car. What happens on the back end of that is if they don't pay the money, after a certain period of time, the tow company then submits paperwork to us. We fill it out for either like a salvage or a junk title or a lost title or whatever it may be. And then the tow company, because they also didn't get their money for towing the car, then they do whatever they need to do with, whether it's scrap the vehicle, sell the vehicle, you know, take the parts off.
It's a nice vehicle. They can get some cash out of it.
Sure.
But, you know, yep. Sometimes a lot of these cars, if you're not willing to pay $200 to get it back, is probably a junker. Adam Yates is my guest today, and of course I attacked him immediately upon sitting down. He wasn't even warm in the seat yet when I immediately said, why? Why is this all happening, Chief Yates? But I want to talk about something that's really serious. Tonight the City Council is going to make a final vote on $2.4 million reduction in the budget. Some people say they should have been able to figure this out. The Park Board did. The Park Board didn't have to change its budget. They budgeted appropriately for the loss of PPRT. You can also make the argument, well, let's be optimistic and put the money in the budget, and if we have to cut it. Is the police department taking a hit? I know you're taking some kind of hit. Everybody's
right.
Taking a hit. But what does this mean for the police department? How much less money are you going to have now to work with than you would have had a month ago?
So I like the way that the city administration has gone about this, because they've looked at all the different departments. They didn't just come in and say, well, you just need to cut 2.4%. But not only did they not do that, but we looked at a number of areas where there were savings that we hadn't anticipated, and some of it had to do with like health insurance and costs that weren't quite what they thought they were going to be when they established the budget. And then other things that we looked at and got together with the mayor and the treasurer and said, okay, well, this is what we budgeted, but we're trending below that amount. So can we just take $10,000 from this particular account? And, you know, some of the bigger accounts like our fleet account for when we have to have cars serviced or if a car gets crashed or things like that. you know, those are pretty significant budget items, and some years they come in over budget, many years they come in under budget. So just looking at where we're at in the budget year and what we anticipate, you know, we're going to be at the end of the year, we just kind of withdrew money from those accounts. So it's not something that...
You're not going to lose an officer.
We're not going to lose an officer. Absolutely not going to lose an officer. You know, it may come down to one of these accounts we took some money from. It may have been a bad decision, but we'll get that figured out if push comes to shove on those kind of things.
Well, I know, like the fire department, they've got to hire a chief. I mean, you know, right. You can put a hiring, like Mayor Trope said, I put the hiring freeze on, and then Jeff Mays announces his resignation, right. So he's going to be without his right-hand man here for 3 months, too. The city is making these cuts, and they'll make them tonight, and really they are across the board, but of course... police and fire protection is always tantamount in their minds, and you're glad about that. They're not coming to you saying, I'm sorry, you just hired a brand new police officer, but now, you know, you can't put them on the force or you can't hire a next one. It's,
right.
It's nothing like that.
Yeah.
So what did you come today to prepare to talk about?
Well,
besides me yelling at you, but you know it's going to always happen.
That's fine. It's not. You're probably not the first one today that yelled at me. you know, as far as police department stuff, I think we pretty much hit the highlights. But
well, then what is happening in your personal life?
I am going to be participating in Cornerstone's Dancing with the Local Stars this year.
Are you really?
Their event on February
there.
7th. So, yeah. Dancing with Sam McKelvey this year, and so we're looking forward to that. We've been practicing. Jill Shuckman out at Cheryl Loach is our choreographer, and we've been working on it for, I think, almost 2 months now. So we're looking forward to the date that's coming up, and it should be, you know, it's a good opportunity, obviously, a fundraiser for Cornerstone, but we're just looking to have a really good time. Be the first time I've even ever gone to the event. So,
it's so much fun.
I've heard.
I know you sing and play a musical instrument.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know you danced. Or I'll find out if you dance.
You will, yes. You will find out on February 7th, I guess.
Can you tell me what song you're dancing to?
I can't tell you the song.
Movie. It's a movie song.
It's a movie. So we're dancing to Ghostbuster. We picked the Ghostbusters movie. So, yeah,
okay.
We'll have it. And it's a kind of a montage of a couple songs
from
the movie. So, yeah, it's really cool. We're having a lot of fun with how we're putting it together, costumes and things like that. So
that'll be great.
We're looking forward to it.
We're looking forward to it. There's still some seats available, but they are getting scarce, folks. So I'm going to be there, and it's going to be a lot of fun. I've gone many years, and it really is one of the most fun events, because you're just surprised at how, with a little bit of training,
mm-hmm.
somebody with two left feet can almost be passable.
Right.
Again, you know, are you going to be great? I don't know. You might be. You're very athletic.
Sometimes there's a balance between memorable, funny, and being really good. And, you know, Rodney Hart was giving me a hard time about why I hadn't come to him to get advice or things like that. And little did he know that I dug up his video from about 14 years ago.
I have gone almost every year. I've judged it even, but you will never see me do it because, yeah, two left feet.
Yeah.
Two left feet is my problem.
We'll see what happens.
We'll see what happens. So, you know, you mentioned Cornerstone, and one of the things they do so admirably is mental health.
Mm-hmm.
We do talk an awful lot about mental health needs. I know the fire department under Chief Henning actually had to institute a policy where firefighters are forced, ordered off the line and forced to take a respite, you know, because they would stay and battle a fire until they literally collapsed at the scene. Do you have any kind of thing in place where if you feel somebody is overwhelmed, you can call them in and say, hey, you know, you've really been through a lot this last 2 weeks with your job, you know, and maybe tomorrow you just ought to take a mental health day and relax?
We don't have any hard and fast rule that says outside of an officer-involved shooting, if an officer is involved in an officer-involved shooting, they are mandated to see a psychiatrist before they're cleared to come back to work. We did have some policies put in place that specifically addressed our detectives that regularly handle child abuse, child pornography sort of cases. Those were basically, you know, annual checkups, check-ins with the psychiatrist to make sure that we were addressing any issues. I think more than that, our philosophy is we want to have as many resources available to our officers and make sure they are aware of what those resources are and how to take advantage of them without being told to do that. Because as we all know, there's a lot of stigma with mental health. And ultimately, having an officer who can reach out to a trauma counselor or who can get on an app on their phone and find someone to talk to without having to actually go ask, it keeps that keeps them anonymous from our city services and things like that. And I think they're going to be a lot more likely to use services if they know that they can do it behind the scenes and nobody's aware of it. So just making sure that we continue to provide those resources is a priority for me, so that anybody at any point can go talk to somebody and not have to ask permission or not feel like they're being forced to.
Yeah, and is that a change in your time as a police officer? Is it, it's much more acceptable now in these anonymous routes or where people can go and seek help? Because I can imagine in the daily, day-to-day, you see some police officers can see some horrifying things. And just having somebody to talk to and decompress from that would be very beneficial.
Yeah, it's very important. And it's definitely something that was not present in my first, we'll call it 15 years of my career. And over the last 10, we've really started to see a swing towards, you know, making sure that we have folks available. And that's one of the things that we're very proud of, is we have two trauma counselors that are on contract with the Quincy Police Department that our officers and their immediate family members can go see for free. I mean, there's no paperwork, there's no insurance being submitted anywhere. You know, police officers, sometimes rightly so, are concerned with there being some type of mental health indicator on their insurance or something being reported to the state, because you might lose your FOID card, and that happens to a lot of folks. So just making sure we can get rid of that possibility, you know, and obviously the counselors still have to abide by all the rules and regulations that they have to abide by. So if there is a huge issue, that, you know, they'll let us know and it'll get addressed. But it's just really great to have the opportunity for not only officer, but the officer's spouse, the officer's kids. You know, I mean, this is not the job of a police officer does not just affect the officer. It affects their family and those that love them. So we make sure that they all have access to those resources.
Wise. When they pull over Mary Griffith for a traffic infraction, they are going to be involved in a very serious issue that will harm their mental health.
Might have to give Mary a session.
Okay, yeah, well, anger management. I need to be ordered into it. Adam Yates, always fun. Best of luck on
Thank
Dancing
you.
With the Stars.
Thank you very
and
much.
We'll talk to you again next month. And be safe out there.
Thank you, Mary.